Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Katie. You're listening to Nostalgia, the podcast where it's lovely weather for a podcast together.
Oh,
with you.
That's really nice. With you, the listener?
Yeah.
That's really
nice. Not with you.
Oh, yeah. I figured. Kate, have you ever seen Bugs Bunny's Looney Christmas Tales?
No.
We have never done any Looney Tunes content on this show, which is that's an abomination.
Is
more
it?
Than celebrating the holiday season early.
So before we hop in.
Ooh, like
no,
a bunny?
Yeah,
that was good.
No.
Did you do that on purpose?
I don't think Bugs Bunny really hops. Have you ever seen him hop?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have.
Always thought
in
he kind of had like a little, like Vince McMahon walk. You know?
That's the most unexpected thing you could have said. You guys are missing the visual here of Katie sitting wrapped in a blanket doing her Vince McMahon Bugs Bunny walk. But that was a great way to describe it. We have never done WWF either. But
that's true.
That.
I only know that from memes because I know memes. So I'm loopy today. This is not good. So before we hop into
Bugs Bunny's Looney Christmas Tales.
Yes. Can we talk about your childhood consumption of Looney Tunes and how it has shaped your heuristics, like your expectations for
yes.
how the world will interact and behave?
I'm so glad you asked, Kate.
Okay.
Full disclaimer here, I don't want to spend too much time on Looney Tunes in general because I have some banging notes for a future Space Jam episode. It's the most notes I've ever taken for an episode of this podcast.
Oh,
so,
can't wait.
And it's going to be a full breakdown of the entire, we're going on 90 years now, history of Looney Tunes, plus the history of Michael Jordan in the NBA. So it's a delightful, well-researched episode that I've been working on for a long time now. And that's where I really want to
call us
in.
Up, Serial.
Sarah Koenig, if you
Sarah,
want
if you're
if
listening.
You wanna do a guest spot, you're welcome to. We will deign to. But one thing we'll touch on when we get there is just what you asked, because this comes up a lot in our own life, right, Kate?
Yeah, absolutely.
The idea that I watched so much Looney Tunes content as a young, very young child, that it's that old joke about how we've done it here, and it's been done to death on the internet. Like, as a kid, I thought I'd encounter quicksand more as an adult, because you see quicksand in so much childhood media. The problem is, if you're watching Looney Tunes that date back to like the 30s, 40s, and 50s, the references and cultural stuff in them is even more out of line with, you know, your life as a kid growing up in the 90s and 2000s and
yeah,
today.
It's remarkable that you're not more of a racist.
Well, there was like, at least when they aired them on TV, by the 90s,
oh, yeah.
They were like, maybe we shouldn't put this one on. And yeah. If you're listening out there, I was about to be combative, but I want to fix my tone because Joe Biden called for unity yesterday. But if you hear me say they pulled racist Looney Tunes off TV and you go, oh, they're censoring it. Oh, what a disgrace. Oh, they want to pretend it didn't happen. Not necessarily the full picture that is being painted. I have most of the Looney Tunes DVDs they've put out over the years, which was a huge regretful purchase because, you know, I didn't foresee the advent of streaming, but whatever. The Looney Tunes segments on there that have harmful, incorrect racial stereotypes in them, they present those with like a 12-second thing at the beginning that's like, hey, the views expressed in this are a product of their time, they are harmful and inaccurate, and literally the Looney Tunes disclaimer says, if we were to not include them on this DVD, that would be just as bad as pretending they never existed. So even Gone with the Wind, which famously, when HBO Max came out, they took it down for 12 seconds.
God, he's going nuts.
They took it down for like a couple days, and then they put it up with a disclaimer like that. Like, nobody's trying to take away your racist old media. They're just trying to present it to you in a way where kids don't watch it and go, oh, yeah, this is an accurate portrayal of this minority group or this minority group. That's all. Speedy Gonzalez, you can still watch him, you know? He's not the greatest portrayal, though, in the world. We can all hopefully agree to that. Anyway, the thing I'm more concerned with is not racism. It's like anvils. What is an anvil?
It's something a blacksmith would use to like shape a piece of metal.
Huh.
It's quite heavy.
So why would anyone ever encounter one in their life?
If you had gone outside, you would have encountered at least a couple anvils.
You've seen an anvil in real life?
Oh, several
Where?
Anvils.
What blacksmith have you been going to their shop and seen an anvil?
Every once in a while you run across an anvil. It's totally normal. It's very heavy.
You've really seen an anvil? You're not just doing a bit?
No. I want to talk more about your, two emblematic things that I've encountered in our relationship where I was like, oh my God, he got that from a Looney Tunes. And the first one is anytime something is happening where there's like a procedure, something is being assembled. Like I can hear Tyler in his head listening to that powerhouse music. That's like bum 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 bum. So there's that. Like anytime he's making a sandwich, I can hear him being like bum bum bum.
Oh, you know, it's really if you're making if I'm making us both sandwiches for lunch and we're gonna take them to work. It's like yeah, because it's like you do sandwich one's peanut butter, sandwich two's peanut butter.
And then
this is so dumb. This is the dumbest intro we've ever done.
The other one is there's a home movie of New Year's Eve, like 1995.
I will drop a clip of the crime into this episode.
Please do.
But you can explain it first.
For whatever reason, like Tyler has been like kicked by his brother. And instead of expressing his emotions, like, wow, I really felt upset when my brother kicked me.
Hang on, I was 3 or 4 in this video, but go on.
He just starts wailing with this, like, fake crocodile tears right. That you would hear from, like, Elmer Fudd in a bassinet. Go ahead and tell me you haven't seen Elmer Fudd in a bassinet going, away, right. Away. Right.
Okay, it's 6:45 on New Year's Eve. What time are you guys going to stay up till? Okay, well, we'll check back and see if things are still up.
And so when we watched this, Katie was saying to me, like, you know, oh my God, you're like just faking it based on what you think a baby crying sounds like, based on a Looney Tune. You're right.
Also, the fact that you're just a real life Looney Tune.
And just, I think, some of my cultural references, and I was definitely had a touch of that, like, insufferable Le Wrong Generation thing growing up, definitely, like, around, like, late elementary, early middle school, because, you know, there are whole Looney Tune cartoons that are, like, just, like, long-form, 8-minute spoofs of, you know, Hollywood culture in the 40s, so it's like, here's the Marx Brothers, here's the Three Stooges, here's Laurel and Hardy, and we're doing bits, here's Clark Gable with really big ears, you know, so it's a whole thing.
If you were a Looney Tune, which Looney Tune would you be?
Probably Elmer Fudd. I look most like Elmer Fudd. But my favorite Looney Tune, which we will do, this will all come up in Space Jam, and I think we'll probably do more Looney Tunes episodes after that with individual shorts, but my favorite Looney Tune has always been Foghorn Leghorn, who's like a southern gentleman. I do. Like, he talks like
I don't like
Could be problematic. We'll see. We'll investigate.
If you were a Looney Tune,
What do you think I would be?
That's tough. So if you say I am a real life Looney Tune, I would argue that you are so far from a Looney Tune, I can't even place it.
Do you think I would be Yosemite Sam? Small, loves to fight.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
I think I would be the Roadrunner.
Oh my goodness. That's a great point. I would say our whole life is just a Roadrunner coyote cartoon. So this was supposed to be a short intro where we didn't get too into Looney Tunes.
Sorry, guys.
But we're going to watch Bugs Bunny's Looney Christmas Tales. I promise I won't do too much history, but the main thing you need to know is that Looney Tunes were theatrical cartoons. So they played before a movie when you went to see a movie in the 30s. The original Looney Tunes ran in theaters from 1930 to 1969. They had a real long run, and then they never went away, which again, we'll talk about more in our Space Jam episode. They pop up. They made movies out of, like, stitching the old shorts together with, like, a few new segments to make them kind of flow. They did all sorts of stuff to get Looney Tunes to limp along into the television era and into the modern day, because they're still making Looney Tunes content. But in 1979, CBS had this special made. It's a half-hour special for Christmas time. It aired on CBS on November 27th, 1979. It re-aired pretty much every year after that. It was released on VHS in 1990, so, you know, it's been around, it's been out there. And it's just 3 newly produced shorts. They didn't do what I actually thought this was going into this, which I thought it was old shorts that they just kind of slapped together. They actually made 3 new shorts. Bugs Bunny's Christmas Carol, which is the main reason I want to watch this. Every year we do a version of the Christmas Carol on the podcast. That was directed by Friz Freleng. Freeze Frame, directed by Chuck Jones, which I think is a Roadrunner Coyote cartoon. And The Fright Before Christmas, also directed by Friz Freleng. These two guys, Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng, they worked on the originals. Like, they were there. I know they had only ended 10 years prior. They're there from the jump. They co-created a lot of the characters that we all know. They're both like legends in animation, if you're into that sort of thing. All three of the shorts were written by Freeling and Jones, as well as John Dunn and Tony Benedict. The voices are by Mel Blanc and June Foray, who are the voices from the original Looney Tunes. And thank goodness June Foray gets credit here, because there's a whole thing where Mel Blanc, the voice actor who is Barney Rubble, he basically did all the Looney Tunes, every one of their voices, which is pretty incredible that all those highly identifiable characters are one dude. Once you know that, you can kind of hear it if you listen for it. But forever, it was just like voices by Mel Blanc. But there was like a few female voices in these cartoons going all the way back. And it's June Foray who never got credit properly. And she finally did. There was like some legal action later that got her the credit she deserves. So she's incredible, incredible classic voice actress. I can't remember if I've seen this or not. I don't think I have, but I'm not 100% sure because...
It's probably all blended together in your, like, Looney Tunes...
garbage disposal of a mind.
Yeah. Like, you ever wonder... I know that objectively, scientifically, there's nothing inside of our heads. But, like, have you ever wondered what the inside of your mind might look like?
I'm so glad you clarified, just in case anyone's like, wow, I thought Katie was really smart, but... She thinks there's actually Looney Tunes in Tyler's head.
I'm just saying.
I've seen so much Looney Tunes. When I got these DVDs, like, in my teens and started, I was like, oh, I'm going to finally see all the Looney Tunes I never saw. I watched them, and I'm like, I think I've seen all of these at some point. Like, there were so few that I could watch that I was like, yeah, I don't remember anything about this. So it's
I feel like
mush.
The inside of your brain is that it's just a different version of the cartoon All-Stars. Because it's, like, the Looney Tunes characters, and then, like, Conan O'Brien is there.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, I like to think of it more as like a Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of situation. Oh. Yours, though, would be more of a neat and orderly office.
Mine's the...
Proper filing.
Mine's the Miro exhibit at the Met.
I don't even know who that is.
Perfectly minimalist.
Guys, look up Jean Miro. Am I saying that right? No, Jean? Anyway, Miro. I'll put a link to it in the episode description. Even though I don't know if I've seen this or not, so I technically can't tell you why it's good like I normally do at this point, it's Looney Tunes, it's Christmas, two great tastes that hopefully will taste great together. What could go wrong? I'm a little skeptical, though, because later Looney Tunes kind of lose a little bit of their, as anything would over the course of that many years, they lose a little bit of their gusto, but, you know, I'm hopeful about the quality of this.
I just want to see Bugs Bunny on a fat horse.
And not in this one.
Drat.
Do you... Want to guess who Scrooge is going to be?
Is it Elmer Fudd?
No.
Is it Yosemite Sam?
Yes.
I love Yosemite Sam.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
Let me, Mr. Scrooge, boss, sir, please, can I have a piece of coal? Just a small one. I'm freezing.
No, you can't. I give you a piece of coal last Tuesday. You should have made it last. If you'd stopped shivering and worked faster, you'd keep warm. Now shut the door. You're letting the heat out.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Thick halls. Joyous Yuletide.
Ooh, I hate Christmas, and I hate mistletoe, and I hate kissing. And I say bah humbug to the whole thing.
But where's your Christmas spirit?
You're a-looking at it.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
Why doesn't Porky Pig ever have pants on?
You could say the same about Donald Duck, and you're saying
that while... I thought you were going to say Donald Trump.
You're saying that while Pepe Le Pew and Bugs Bunny are completely naked.
I think I might be Yosemite Sam. Look at his little boots. There's a lot going on here. I just don't want anything loony, you know?
You're not in for a good time then for the next half hour. Porky Pig is Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, Porky Pig really has no pants on. Like, it is apparent.
It is odd because they're dressing him very human
waist up. Yeah, he has a shirt on.
Right. It is a strange choice. It wouldn't have been difficult to...
Yeah, it wouldn't have been difficult to animate pants. A pair of pants on him.
Right.
Go ahead and tell me if you have seen any iteration of A Christmas Carol that unbridled capitalism is the way to go.
All right.
I'm just saying.
The problem is we start it. Our first year of Christmas shows 2 years ago with the Muppets Christmas Carol.
With the definitive
it's
Christmas
just so
Carol.
Good. And I'm always on the lookout in these Christmas carols for like how much or how little actual text they quote. And it's the Muppets just expertly get the balance.
Yeah, it's perfect. What? Like, he's supposed to be a prospector, I guess?
Yeah.
But like, why is he just an orange creature?
Yeah, his hair and his mustache are all just connected to the point where...
It's like Gritty's son.
How do you feel about the energy of this
it's
Christmas
just,
carol?
It's absolutely manic, and everyone is just screaming.
And they're trying to do the Christmas carol in like 7 minutes.
Does any of his family wear pants? This is such a strange take on it. He's invited Scrooge's nephew Fred over for dinner.
That doesn't happen, does it?
No.
We got Tweety Bird as Tiny Tim. Interesting. That makes sense, I guess. Did that happen?
No.
So Scrooge has just foreclosed on Bob Cratchit's mortgage, isn't evicting him on Christmas night. They've made Scrooge even more ruthless for some reason.
I mean, it's probably what would happen, but...
It's a truly American take on the this British classic.
Uniquely American. I'm confused. There's just so much use of the slide whistle that it means nothing anymore.
Scrooge's slipping on a frozen street. And yeah, we got the whoop.
They are playing the slide whistle. They've played the slide whistle at least 18 times. Yeah, like, Nephew Fred is, like, extremely vindictive now. Which is how it would really happen, probably.
As many nephews and uncles will be getting into Rose this Christmas. Their take on this, which is actually very inventive, is that Fred is pretending to be the ghost of Marley. He's got the chains and put a sheet on. There are no ghosts.
That ghost costume's a little questionable. Again, uniquely American take.
Yeah, they've taken some gigantic liberties here.
Oh my god, why are they bouncing? So I've seen like a few Looney Tunes in my day, mm-hmm. right? This just feels like so low quality. I don't know if it's the quality of the animation.
Yes, and the writing.
It kind of feels like Scooby-Doo, almost.
Well, it's 1979. You know? Scooby-Doo's been out for 10 years already. Yeah. It's interesting to watch this because, yeah, the Looney Tunes, you know, it's way past their prime.
So wait. Hold up. So Bugs Bunny, as Nephew Fred, mm-hmm. is now saying that he's going to drag Ebenezer Scrooge to hell.
Which is also not a threat in the other one. The threat is just that he'll die and be forgotten. Oh, wow. We're adding Santa Claus to the Christmas carol now. So Scrooge, because he's afraid of going to hell, which somehow at this point in his life is the only time he's heard that threat, is now dressed as Santa, giving away his riches. There's been no ghost of past, present, or future.
Nope. He's just showering these orphans with cash.
This must have been confusing for children.
I'm confused as I sit here. I'm 30 years old. I'm confused.
This really must muddle people's understanding of the Christmas carol story, right?
It's nice that this pig has adopted a bird, though.
That is
it
nice.
Feels like something you would watch on, like, YouTube. You know? Like, you'll never believe this pig adopted a bird.
Meep, meep. Meep, meep.
My hot take, which is not that hot of a take, Roadrunner and Coyote are the best Looney Tunes characters.
I wouldn't disagree.
Their shorts are genius. They're wordless.
Wordless, simple, there's rules.
Yeah,
right?
There's great gags. We'll see if this one's good.
Yeah. Are those rocket skates?
Rocket skis.
See, Johnny Knoxville? Wile E. Coyote, a dog,
mm-hmm.
has ordered 12 dogs to help pull a sled.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's kind of a weird take.
It's bizarre.
What is this, Wayfair?
I want to point out for the record, the silence you're hearing is not a mistake. It's Katie not laughing at any of these gags.
Yep.
All right. Not a lot to enjoy in that Roadrunner cartoon, sadly.
Why don't you have a chair whilst I read to you from my nephew's brief Christmas list? Here's a few things he would like to have. A solid gold football, a trip to Venus, 10 tickets to the World Series. Oops, broke my pencil. Thank you. A hockey team, a world championship quality. A carrot farm in the South Pacific. A stereo, a TV. A controlling interest in IBM. A subscription to the Comic Book of the Month Club. A Frank Sinatra's old address book.
Who's this?
Who?
There's some sort of...
Is that? There's
Bugs,
some kind of...
A little Bugs Bunny nephew character. Never a good sign when they introduce a nephew character.
No.
So he's grasping at straws.
It's the Scrappy-Doo of this.
Yeah, yes. Cousin Oliver. What do you know about the Tasmanian devil?
I know that he spins around a lot. That's it. I don't know if I can handle this level of Tasmanian devil energy for the next 13 minutes. I just don't know minutes. If I can do it.
I have always loved the sound that the Tasmanian devil makes when he's spinning.
It's like a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
What's happening? I'm exhausted by watching this.
Dashing through the snow, ho-ho. In a one-horse open sleigh, hey, hey. All the fields we go, ho-ho. Laughing all the way. Hey, hey. Hold it, gang. All right, pal, what happened to our sleigh?
Me ate it. Ooh, it was delicious.
Anyway, Merry Christmas, gang.
And happy holidays.
Whoa.
That makes me want to wage a war on Christmas.
Holy smokes. This was not good at all.
Oh, June Frey did not get credit.
Nope.
That came later, I guess.
Don't spend your time on it. The animation quality was crap. The stories were crap. Christmas is canceled, kids.
I would like to deny it.
Nope.
But
it's crap. It was crap, wasn't it?
It really was. Like I said at the beginning, I was worried. Oh, look, there's an ad for other Looney Tunes VHS tapes.
Oh, if you
liked
this.
Wow, they had a lot of tapes out. Look at all these.
It was hard to follow. It was hard to watch. All of it.
Yeah. June Frey got additional voices by like three screens later in the credits.
Oh my god.
I love Looney Tunes, but I not everything they've ever done is good. I, of course, will admit that. And the 70s, not a great time.
Oh my god, that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'm not joking.
So, break it down bit by bit here. The Christmas Carol.
Confusing. Does not stick to the story of a Christmas Carol at all. Uses a Christmas Carol as like a vague shading around whatever it is they were trying to do.
And of course it doesn't need to be a perfect match. Looney
no,
Tunes shouldn't
that's fine.
Follow
it shouldn't be a perfect match.
The Muppets is a masterclass.
But
on
there's no adapt, there's literally you know, no similarities adapt. Between
Right. It's like it shouldn't even be called it.
No, just call it like Scrooge was bad and mean.
I know they only had 8 minutes. I know it's Looney Tunes, but yeah.
Then don't. Then don't try it. Don't try it.
Too many weird changes.
Just make something else.
That one was pretty lame. Roadrunner and Coyote.
I like that one because no one spoke.
You had a break from screaming. Yeah. It was fine. You know, it's pretty
standard.
It wasn't
great. I feel like the animation was disappointing.
And number three was the Tasmanian Devil at Bugs Bunny's house on Christmas.
I don't know what happened there. And I just kind of tuned
out.
Ate
a lot of stuff.
I just kind of, it was bad. It was bad, guys.
Yeah,
just
it's
don't.
It's certainly not the best Looney Tunes content ever, even though it was the original voices, the original directors, you know, it just didn't hit right. They truly did not have the quality of animation, probably the time or money to make it the way that in, you know, 1940s Looney Tunes would have looked.
Instead of watching this, I don't know, go watch Bugs Bunny on his fat horse.
That's a great one. We're going to do some more holiday content, hopefully better ones. To be fair, Kate, the reason we ended up with this first is just because we have a limited amount of time today to record, and almost all of our other things we're going to watch for this holiday season are a bit longer. So hopefully some of those are better. Maybe not, though. We'll see. I was cautiously optimistic here, and I was proven wrong. But
boo.
Tell us what we should watch next. Tell us what we should watch in New Year for this podcast. You can leave us a voice message by clicking the link in the episode description. You can send us an email, nostalgia@AOL.com. You can find us on social media, or just go to our website, www.nostalgia.org.
Saturday, get set for Bugs Bunny's Loony Christmas Tales. There's lots of ho, ho, ho. Saturday at 8, 7 Central and Mountain.
This is CBS.